All right, welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we've got a case, a Supreme Court case that I think is pretty fascinating. It's got it all. It's got avocados. It's got state versus federal power. It's got the Constitution. What more could you ask for?
That's right. It's Florida Lime and Avocado Growers, Inc. v. Paul, a 1963 Supreme Court case.
1963.
Yeah, this one really gets into the heart of American federalism, you know, that constant push and pull between the states and the federal government. And in this case, it all comes down to avocados.
You know, it sounds kind of funny on the surface, but it really gets into these deep issues about who gets to regulate what.
Absolutely. And it has big implications for all sorts of industries and products, not just avocados.
So to set the stage for everyone listening, we're dealing with California, which, as many of you know, loves to make its own rules.
Uh-huh.
And Florida, another major player in, the Sunshine Game, right?
Exactly.
And both of them happen to grow a lot of avocados.
They do.
But they have very different ideas about how to handle them, how to regulate them.
Well, specifically, how to make sure they're ripe. Right. You don't want to buy an avocado and get home and it's like rock hard.
That's the worst.
The worst. So California, always looking out for its consumers, decided to set a minimum oil content standard for avocados sold in the state. 8% to be exact.
8%. Interesting.
The idea was that avocados with higher oil content are generally going to be riper and tastier. So they figured this would protect Californians from bad avocados.
Makes sense on the surface.
Yeah.
But here come the Florida growers. They're like, hold on a second, California, we grow our avocados under a different set of rules.
Right. Federal rules. The federal government had its own maturity standards for avocados, and those standards didn't specifically focus on oil content.
So you could have a perfectly good avocado, federally approved, ready to be shipped and sold all over the country. But it might not meet that 8% oil content threshold that California was demanding.
And that created a real dilemma for the Florida growers. Suddenly, they're facing the possibility of having their avocados rejected at the California border, even though they met all the federal requirements. We're talking about lost sales, a whole bunch of economic hardship.
Yeah, real financial pain. Mm-hmm. You can imagine you're a Florida avocado grower, you've invested all this time and money, and then your perfectly good avocados are deemed not good enough for California.
Exactly. And they argued that this was unfair and unconstitutional. That's what led to this case making its way all the way up to the Supreme Court.
And it didn't get there quickly, right? This wasn't a straight shot to the top court. There were twists and turns along the way.
Right. It bounced around a bit. It started in the district court, then went up to the Supreme Court, then got sent back down for more analysis under the Commerce Clause. Then a three-judge panel weighed in. It was a real journey.
And eventually, it landed back at the Supreme Court for a final decision, which, and this is important, was not unanimous.
Exactly, a split decision, which tells you right there that we're dealing with some really complex legal issues.
So today we're going to unpack all of that. We're going to dive into the arguments that were made, how the court analyzed those arguments, and what the lasting impact of this case has been on how states and the federal government interact when it comes to regulation.
Exactly, because this isn't just about avocados. This mm-hmm. is about understanding the principles of preemption, equal protection, the Commerce Clause, really core concepts in American constitutional law.
So by the end of this deep dive, you'll have a much clearer understanding of how the courts try to resolve these conflicts between state and federal laws, and why a case about something as, well, seemingly simple as avocados can be so important for understanding our legal system.
Right. And it really shows how these seemingly mundane everyday things like food can become the subject of these big constitutional showdowns.
Okay, so let's get into it. The first big legal issue in this case was the Supremacy Clause and this idea of preemption. The Florida growers were basically arguing that the federal rules for avocado maturity should completely override, should preempt California's oil content standard.
Right. They were saying, look, the federal government has already set the rules for when avocados are mature enough to be shipped across state lines. California can't just come in and add its own extra layer of regulation.
We're already jumping through the federal hoops.
Exactly. They felt that having to comply with both sets of rules created an unnecessary burden and interfered with the smooth flow of interstate commerce.
Now, preemption, for those who are new to this concept, is this really important idea in our legal system. It basically says that federal law is the supreme law of the land, and that if there's a conflict between a federal law and a state law, the federal law wins.
Right. It comes straight from the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution. But applying that principle in practice can get tricky, especially when you have state and federal laws that seem to overlap or touch on the same subject matter.
So in this case, the Florida growers were arguing that there was a conflict, that California's oil content rule was directly contradicting the federal maturity standards. But the Supreme Court didn't agree, did they?
They didn't, and this is where the court's reasoning gets really interesting. They said that the federal regulations were primarily focused on ensuring that avocados are mature enough to be shipped and sold wholesale across state lines. So it was about that initial stage of getting the avocados to market.
Okay, so like the big shipments from Florida to, I don't know, a distributor in California.
Exactly. And then the court said California's rule was really more about the retail level, about protecting consumers at the point of sale, making sure that the avocados they were buying in stores were actually ripe and ready to eat.
So it was like two different points on the avocados' journey, not necessarily a head-on collision.
Exactly. The court saw them as addressing different aspects of the avocado trade, not directly conflicting with each other.
And they made a very clear distinction between two types of preemption, which is important to understand here. They talked about conflict preemption, where a state law directly contradicts a federal law, and field preemption, where Congress has essentially said, we're taking over this whole area of regulation, states stay out.
Right. And in this case, they didn't find either type of preemption. They didn't see a direct conflict between the two sets of rules, and they didn't think Congress had intended to completely occupy the field of avocado regulation.
And they had a great line in their opinion, which I think really sums up their thinking.
Yes. They said, both state and federal requirements may be enforced without clash.
That really highlights the idea that they didn't see these two sets of rules as being inherently incompatible.
Exactly. They thought both could exist side by side without creating chaos in the avocado market.
All right. So California's avocado rule survived the Supremacy Clause challenge. But the Florida growers also argued that it violated the Equal Protection Clause. What was their argument there?
Well, they basically said that California's law, even if it applied to everyone on paper, unfairly disadvantaged Florida growers in practice. They argued that the 8% oil content standard was one that their avocados often couldn't meet because of, you know, the variety of avocados they were growing, the climate in Florida, all sorts of factors.
Right. And they were saying that this put them at a competitive disadvantage compared to California growers who were more likely to be able to meet that specific standard.
Exactly. They felt like California was using this rule to protect its own avocado industry at the expense of out-of-state competitors.
But again, the court wasn't convinced. What was their reasoning this time?
The court emphasized that the California law applied the same 8% oil content standard to all avocado producers, regardless of where they were located. So on its face, the law was neutral. It didn't single out Florida growers for harsher treatment.
So it was a neutral rule, even if the practical effects might have been felt more acutely by the Florida growers.
That's right. And the court pointed out that when it comes to economic regulations like this, they apply what's called the rational basis test under the Equal Protection Clause. Basically, they're not going to second guess the state's judgment about the best way to achieve a legitimate goal as long as there's a reasonable connection between the law and that goal.
So it's a pretty low bar for the state to clear, right? They just have to show that the law isn't totally arbitrary, that it has some rational basis.
Exactly. It's not about whether the law is the best way to achieve the goal, just whether it's a reasonable way.
And in this case, what did the court consider to be California's legitimate goal?
The court accepted California's argument that protecting consumers from unripe avocados was a legitimate state interest. And they found that the oil content standard, even if it wasn't perfect, was a rational way to try and achieve that goal.
So basically, the court was saying, look, California wants to make sure its consumers are getting good avocados, and they're using a method that, while not perfect, makes some sense. We're not going to micromanage how they choose to protect their consumers.
Exactly. And the fact that it might have had a disproportionate impact on Florida growers, while unfortunate, wasn't enough to make the law unconstitutional under the Equal Protection Clause.
Okay, so we've got the Supremacy Clause, we've got the Equal Protection Clause, but the case didn't end there, did it? The Supreme Court actually sent it back down to the lower courts for more consideration of the Commerce Clause. Why was that?
That's where things get even more interesting. Because even though the court rejected the preemption and equal protection arguments, they felt that the record wasn't complete enough to determine whether California's oil content standard placed an undue burden on interstate commerce. They acknowledged that California had a valid interest in protecting its consumers, but they wanted more information about the actual impact of this regulation on the flow of avocados from Florida.
So even though the law itself wasn't discriminatory on its face, they were concerned that the practical effects might be too burdensome on interstate commerce.
Right. This gets into the balancing test that courts often use when analyzing Commerce Clause issues. It's not a simple black and white analysis. They have to weigh the local benefits of the state regulation against the burdens it imposes on interstate commerce.
So in this case, they were essentially saying, we need to figure out whether California's desire for slightly riper avocados is worth the potential harm to the Florida avocado industry.
Exactly. What if Florida could show that the 8% oil test was completely arbitrary, or that there were other, less burdensome ways for California to achieve its goal of consumer protection? That's the kind of evidence the Supreme Court wanted the lower courts to consider.
So even though the law wasn't discriminatory on its face, if the practical effects were too burdensome on interstate commerce, it could still be struck down.
Right. The court was saying that even a well-intentioned state law can be unconstitutional if it creates an excessive burden on the free flow of goods between states.
Now, it's worth noting that there was a dissenting opinion in this case. What were the dissenting justices concerned about?
Justice White, joined by Justices Black, Douglas, and Clark, argued that California's oil content standard was a clear interference with the federal government's efforts to create a uniform system for marketing avocados nationwide. They basically felt that California was overstepping its bounds and creating an unnecessary obstacle to interstate commerce.
So they disagreed with the majority's view that the state and federal rules could coexist peacefully.
They did. They felt that California's rule was undermining the federal regulatory scheme and making it harder for avocados to move freely across state lines.
That's interesting. Even within the Supreme Court itself, you had this real debate about how to balance the interests of the states and the federal government in this area.
Yeah, it shows how complex these issues can be and how reasonable minds can differ on how to apply these constitutional principles.
Okay, so let's zoom out a bit. What are the big takeaways from this case? What are the lasting legal principles that Florida Lime and Avocado illustrates?
Well, first, it shows us that preemption isn't automatic. Just because the federal government regulates something doesn't mean states can't regulate it too. There has to be a clear conflict or a clear intention by Congress to take over the whole field.
So states still have a lot of regulatory power, even in areas where the federal government is also active.
They do, and this case is a good reminder of that.
What about the Equal Protection Clause? What does this case tell us about that?
Well, it reinforces the idea that states have a lot of leeway when it comes to economic regulations. As long as a law applies equally to everyone and serves a legitimate state purpose, the courts are generally going to give the state the benefit of the doubt. They're not going to get into the weeds of whether it's the best way to achieve that purpose, just whether it's reasonable.
So the takeaway there is that if a state law is neutral on its face and tries to solve a real problem, even if it affects some groups more than others, it's likely to be upheld.
Exactly.
And what about the Commerce Clause? What's the big lesson there?
The Commerce Clause aspect of the case highlights the importance of this balancing test. Even a state law that doesn't discriminate against out-of-state interests can still be problematic if it places too much of a burden on interstate commerce.
So states need to be careful not to disrupt the flow of goods and services across state lines, even if they're trying to achieve legitimate local goals.
That's right. They need to be aware of that balancing act and make sure their regulations aren't unduly burdensome on interstate commerce.
So for you, the listener, especially those of you who are studying law, why should you care about this case? What makes it relevant to your studies?
Understanding these principles, preemption, equal protection, the Commerce Clause is essential for anyone who wants to practice law, especially if you're interested in areas like administrative law, regulatory law, constitutional law, really any area where state and federal powers intersect.
Yeah, and this case gives you a really concrete, real-world example of how these principles play out in practice.
Exactly. It's not just abstract theory. It's about how these ideas affect real businesses, real consumers, real people.
So the big takeaway here is that federal law is supreme, but it doesn't automatically wipe out state laws unless there's a direct conflict or Congress has explicitly said, hands off, states.
Right. And even when there's no direct conflict, states still need to be mindful of how their laws might affect interstate commerce and make sure they're not being overly burdensome.
Okay, so as we wrap up this deep dive into Florida Lime and Avocado Growers v. Paul, I think it's clear that this case, while seemingly about something as simple as avocados, actually raises some really fundamental questions about the relationship between state and federal power in our system.
Absolutely. It's a great example of how these seemingly mundane things can become the subject of these big, important legal battles.
And those battles continue today, right? We're constantly seeing these tensions between state and federal regulations, especially in areas like environmental protection, healthcare, gun control.
Exactly. The issues raised in Florida lime and avocado are as relevant today as they were back in 1963.
So, as we leave you with this case, I want to leave you with a question to ponder. Given the complexities of interstate commerce and the desire for states to have their own unique rules and standards, what are some of the challenges in finding that right balance? How do we ensure a relatively free flow of goods and services across state lines while still allowing states to address their own specific needs and protect their own citizens?
It's a tough question, and there's no easy answer. But cases like Florida lime and avocado give us a framework for thinking about these issues and understanding the legal principles that are at stake.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.
Yeah, and keep an eye out for those avocados. You never know when they might spark a constitutional crisis.
That's right.
Okay, see ya.
See ya.